اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعجل فرجه. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. We seek the protection of God from Shaitan, who has been disqualified from God's kingdom of special mercy because of his arrogance and his defiance. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. We submissively turn to God and ask for his special grace and guidance because He is the All-Perfect One, and He is the All-Merciful One, and He is one whose special grace and mercy is available in abundance to those amongst us who believe in Him and who submit to His commands. Alhamdulillah. Wassalatu wassalam ala sayyidina wa nabiyyina Muhammad wa alihi al-tahirin. We send our salutations on the Holy Prophet and on his holy progeny, who were the best guides for mankind till the end of time. Elders, brothers and sisters, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. We were discussing a brief commentary on Dua Kumail, and in order to develop the right mindset before reciting this Dua, it is appropriate to remind ourselves about the background and the significance of the dua. One of the most important things is the status of the individual who requested this dua, because people vary in their levels of development and perfection, and because when you go to a source which is comparatively much greater than anyone else can achieve in perfection, therefore what you get from that source will depend on how much you can take. Kumail was not an ordinary companion. He was a member of the elite group of companions. Observe the fact that he was a devout worshipper, the fact that in the battlefield he was quite brave and he participated in the battles with Imam alayhi salam, and he opposed politically any oppression or wrongdoing that he saw, and he sacrificed and he suffered for that. And he was politically quite active and aware, and he was the first one to pledge allegiance to Imam when he was elected to be the Khalifa. He participated in the battles of Siffin. Finally, he was appointed as a governor in the province of Heat in Iraq, and towards the end he was martyred by Hajjaj. Imam alayhi salam trusted him. Imam alayhi salam even shared with him certain secrets about the future, predictions, which normally Imam alayhi salam does not teach everyone. Next slide, please. Secondly, the fact that Kumail makes this request that I want that special dua which is associated with Khidr. Khidr was not an ordinary man. He was a man from whom Musa alayhi salam sought to learn. And number three, Imam alayhi salam gives special audience in the solitude of the night to Kumail. And number four, the hadith which says that Imam tells Kumail that even if you recite this dua once in your lifetime, forget once a year or once a month or once every week, once in your lifetime, it has the power to change your life. So the dua is not ordinary. Next slide, please. And in order to get an overall view of the dua, we can break it up into sections. For convenience, I've broken it up into six. Section one, where Imam alayhi salam mentions the different names of God. And then finally says, I want to get closer to you, but there's something which is blocking me, and those are the sins, please forgive me. Section 2. This paragraph can be taken as a tafsir of this ayah, أَمَّنْ يُجِيبُ الْمُضْطَرَّ إِذَا دَعَاهُ وَيَكْشِفُ السُّوءُ, where Imam alayhi salam says that, اللَّهُمَّ إِنِّي أَسْأَلُكَ سُؤَالَ مَنْ اشْتَدَّتْ فَاقَتُهُ, I'm a faqir, but a severely afflicted faqir, and therefore I've come to you. Paragraph 3, where he says, after asking for forgiveness, he says, but the problem that I'm facing is not because you are the one who afflicted me with the sins. You gave me the chance, you gave me the opportunity, you gave me the freedom and the facilities. I abused it. فَلَكَ الْحَمْدِ وَلَكَ الْحُجَّةُ عَلَيَّ. There is no objection or proof I can ever summon against you. And paragraph number 4, where he begins to have a dialogue with God, but not as one who is distant from God, but one who is very close to God. Oh Lord, if you punish me and send me to the fire of hell, then I shall announce there, and I shall weep, and I shall wail, and I shall cry with the loudest of my voice, that this is the face that always made such that to you. This is the mind that accepted you. This is the heart that believed in you. These are the body limbs that obeyed you. An ordinary person cannot speak these words. This is a person who is very close to God. مَا هَكَذَا الظَّنُّ بِكَ. O Lord, I can never ever imagine that you will allow such a servant who has devoted his whole life to your worship to be relegated and neglected and abandoned to the fire of hell. And besides, O Lord, I'm sure, had it not been for your decree and your wisdom to punish only those who are the hardcore, stubborn, adamant deniers of the truth, you would have made fire into Jannah. And finally, at the peak of his dua, he says, Allahumma aghfir li kulla dhanbin aznabtu, in this layla, in this sa'ah, all the sins I want them to be forgiven. And from now onwards, I want my life to be constantly in your service. Wa bi khidmatika mawsoola. Next slide, please. So we were discussing section 1, where the different names of God are being invoked. O Lord, because you are all-knowing, you know my problems. O Lord, because you are all-powerful, I ask you, because you have the power to solve the problems. O Lord, because you are all-compassionate, merciful, loving, you are willing to solve my problems. That's why I've come to you. But before I ask you, I realize there are some things which are keeping me away from you, and those are my sins. Allahumma aghfir li al-dhunub allati tahtikul isam, tughayyirun ni'am, tunzilun niqam, tunzilul bala, tahbisul du'a. Next slide, please. So, next. We're discussing these sins which block us and keep us away from God. And one of the most powerful verses in the Quran, which explain the damage that sins can do to a person, is this ayah in Surah Mutaffifin, chapter 83, ayah number 14 and 15. Kalla bal rana ala qulubihim ma kanu yaksibun. O Prophet, do you know why these disbelievers have been sent to the fire of hell? It's because their hearts have become damaged. But how can a heart become damaged? When Allah created this person, He gave him a pure mind and a pure heart, a mind that could seek the truth and understand it, a heart that loved the truth, that wanted to become pure and perfect. What happened to it? This person willfully, deliberately, knowingly disobeyed. He defied the laws. If a person commits a sin out of ignorance, can be forgiven. If a person knows but forgets, can be forgiven. If a person knows, doesn't do it forgetfully, but maybe he's overcome by desires, can be forgiven. A person knows, has got no excuse, he's not forced by circumstances, purposely, willfully, knowingly he disobeys, that person damages his soul. Sin by sin, disobedience by disobedience, till it reaches a point where the damage is irreparable. That's where Allah says, "Kalla innahum 'an rabbihim yawma idhin lamahjubun." Allah is there everywhere. His signs, His manifestation, His mercy, His love encompasses, floods an individual. But this person is shut off. Not because Allah doesn't want to reach out to him. He has damaged himself to a point where he cannot receive the mercy of God. You go to the ocean, how much you can take depends on the vessel. If the vessel is closed, you can dip it to the bottom of the ocean, not a drop will enter. The problem is not the ocean. The problem is this vessel. Sins are that damaging influence on our lives, on our spiritual lives. Next slide, please. So, Imam alayhi salam teaches us that we should ask for forgiveness from those sins which tear, tahtikul isam, tear open the cover of innocence and modesty and decency which everyone has been given by God. And one of the most important sins is drinking of alcohol. We discussed this. Sins which تنزل النقم, invite punishment, بغي, ظلم, denying the rights of others, ridiculing others, according to the riwayah of the fourth imam. Next slide, please. اللهم اغفر لي الذنوب التي تحبس الدعاء. Oh Lord, I want to get close to you. I want to engage in communication with you. But there may be some things I do which disqualify me from my prayers reaching to you. The angels are told, stop, don't respond, reject, return, unanswered. I want those sins to be forgiven. The different sins mentioned in the riwayat, one riwayah from the sixth holy imam says, عُقُوقُ الْوَالِدَيْنِ, disrespect to parents is one of those sins. But if you scan the other riwayat, there are more mentioned. So, to sin against God, generally, to defy God, that blocks the dua. Number three, to deny rights of others, to make dhulm on others, according to the riwayah of sixth imam. And number four, even if you have not sinned against God, one, you have not hurt any other individual, two, and you have not even hurt your parents, three, and any other sin that may be in the list, four, there could be one other problem, five, and that is, maybe there's no maslaha and no hikmah for this dua to be accepted. So sometimes we need to be aware, if a dua is not accepted, it's not because necessarily we are sinful. Sometimes it's not in our maslaha to be given and to be granted our request. Next slide, please. So the riwayah which says that to make dhulm on others can block our dua, the detailed riwayah is this one. It is a hadith al-Qudsi. Imam alayhi salam narrates it for us, where Allah says, وَعِزَّتِي وَجَلَالِي, and I swear by my might, and nobody can overpower my might. عِزَّة, Allah is Aziz, meaning غَالِب غَيْر مَغْلُوب. Nobody can overpower him. وَعِزَّتِي, and I swear by my might, irresistible might, unconquerable might. وَجَلَالِي, and by my majesty, which is unparalleled. That what? لا أجيب دعوة مظلوم دعاني, I shall not answer the prayer. Forget about ordinary person, of the مظلوم, the one who has been victimized and oppressed, I will not answer his prayer. مظلوم, if he makes a dua to me. If this مظلوم himself has made a ظلم to somebody else. ظلم, even a مظلوم can be denied prayers. دعوة مظلوم دعاني في مظلمة ظلمها. He says, I've been oppressed. My rights have been denied. لكني ولأحد عنده مثل تلك المظلمة. But somebody else has a complaint against him that he has done wrong to me. So long as you hurt somebody else, and that somebody else is a creation of God, Allah can stop and refuse to answer that prayer. Next slide, please. This issue of dhulm is serious. You notice in the previous sins that we were discussing, تُنزِلُ الْبَلَى تُغَيِّرُ النِّعَمْ تُنزِلُ النِّقَمْ. Somewhere dhulm is mentioned again and again and again. It's a very important act. In the Quran, God reminds us in different places that the damage that dhulm can do is twofold. When I oppress somebody or hurt somebody or abuse somebody or do wrong to somebody else, deny their rights, true, I'm hurting. Lakini, the Quran wants to teach us that before you can hurt somebody else, you're actually hurting yourself. Amazing. For example, Surah Talaq, chapter 65, ayah number 1. Allah says the rule of talaq is that when separation is to take place, then she must observe the iddah of talaq. And during that period of iddah, she is not allowed to leave the husband's home. The husband is not allowed to evict her and kick her out. تلك حدود الله. These are the limits set by God. وَمَنْ يَتَعَدَّ حُدُودَ اللَّهِ فَقَدْ ظَلَمَ نَفْسَهُ. Whosoever breaks these laws and crosses the limits before hurting the other one, he has hurt himself. ظُلْم. A sensitive case is that of marriage, but it applies to other cases also. Or in Surah Nisa, for example, chapter 4, ayah number 111, Allah says, whosoever sins before that sin can do any good to him, even if there is some good that's temporary, it's actually hurting him. Ayah number 111. وَمَنْ يَكْسِبْ إِثْمًا فَإِنَّمَا يَكْسِبُهُ عَلَى نَفْسِهِ. He's hurting himself. And the same concept is repeating again and again. As for example, Surah An'am, chapter 104. قَدْ جَاءَكُمْ بَصَائِرُ مِنْ رَبِّكُمْ. Allah has sent multiple basira, something which if you ponder about, you get insight and you'll understand the truth and you'll be enlightened. فَمَنْ أَبْصَرَ فَلِنَفْسِهِ وَمَنْ عَمِيَ فَعَلَيْهَا. You accept the right guidance and you get enlightened, it's to your benefit. You turn a blind eye, you're not going to hurt no one but yourself. Surah Yunus, Surah Bani Israel, Surah Naml, Surah Zumar. مَنْ اِهْتَدَى فَإِنَّمَا يَهْتَدِي لِنَفْسِهِ وَمَنْ ضَلَّ فَإِنَّمَا يَضِلُّ عَلَيْهَا. This is the guidance, clear guidance has been sent. Whosoever accepts the guidance, before doing a favor to the Prophet or anyone else, you're doing good to yourself. You reject, before hurting anybody else, you're hurting yourself. Surah Naml, chapter 27, ayah 40. Surah Luqman, chapter 31, ayah 12. Luqman advises his son. Prophet Sulaiman declares, the gifts that God has given me, I want to be grateful. وَمَنْ شَكَرَ فَإِنَّمَا يَشْكُرُ لِنَفْسِهِ وَمَنْ كَفَرَ فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ غَنِيٌّ حَمِيدٌ. Surah Luqman. فَإِنَّ رَبِّي غَنِيٌّ كَرِيمٌ. Surah Naml. If you refuse to be thankful, God is not affected, you're hurting yourself. God is independent. God is praiseworthy nevertheless. God is generous despite your refusal to thank him. Surah Ankabut, chapter 29, ayah number 6. Strive in the way of God. وَمَنْ جَاهَدَ فَإِنَّمَا يُجَاهِدُ لِنَفْسِهِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ غَنِيٌّ عَنِ الْعَالَمِينَ. To sacrifice everything that you have in the cause of God. Who is going to receive the good? Allah. Allah is independent of the whole universe. Surah Fatir, chapter 35. وَمَنْ تَزَكَّى فَإِنَّمَا يَتَزَكَّى لِنَفْسِهِ. You try to purify yourself and become a good person, Allah doesn't benefit. You're doing it for yourself. In Surah Fussilat, chapter 41. In Surah Jathiyah, chapter 45. مَنْ عَمِلَ صَالِحًا فَلِنَفْسِهِ وَمَنْ أَسَاءَ فَعَلَيْهَا. You do evil, it's against you yourself. You do good, it's for your benefit. Surah Fatih, Surah Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, chapter 47, ayah number 38. مَنْ يَبْخَلْ فَإِنَّمَا يَبْخَلْ لِنَفْسِهِ. You refuse to give in the way of God, whatever God has gifted you, whether it's wealth, whether it's health, whether it's abilities, talents, time, energy, whatever that you can share, and you refuse, you're hurting yourself. And finally, in Surah Fatih again, وَمَنْ نَكَثَ فَإِنَّمَا يَنْكُثُ عَلَى نَفْسِهِ. You refuse to pledge allegiance to the Prophet and the cause of God, and you break the bay'ah, the harm is not to the Prophet, it's to yourself first. In conclusion, the picture the Quran gives is, we need to realize and train ourselves that it is foolish to think that if I do dhulm on somebody, I'm benefiting myself and hurting the others. Before hurting that victim, I'm hurting myself. A beautiful illustration or explanation of this is given by our great scholars. They say, imagine if there is a beautiful, fragrant garden with good smell. And imagine there is another cesspool with obnoxious, pungent, bad smell. We have the power to create in our heart either a garden or a garbage place. But before that garden can give good smell to somebody else, it'll give pleasure to yourself. Before the garbage from me can reach you, I abuse you, I hurt you, I mistreat you. Before the garbage can reach to you, it's hurting me. Lakini, maybe I'm like a leprosy person, you know, who is insensitive in his foot, for example, or insensitive in his fingers. He'll keep on smoking and smoking and burn his fingers, he won't know. Because he's insensitive. It's only when the eyes open in the barzakh and the qiyamah, that's when you realize, oh, I burnt my fingers. Ouch, it's painful. Dhulm, before you hurt somebody else, you're hurting yourself. Allahumma ighfir li adh-dhunub allati tahbisu ad-du'a. Next slide, please. One of the other sins that have been mentioned in the riwayah which block the du'a is disrespect to parents. Uquq al-walidain has been specifically mentioned. Again, the general principle is dhulm to anyone, but specifically dhulm to parents is all the more effective in blocking the du'a. Look at this hadith of the Prophet. It's an eye-opener. The Prophet says, إِيَّاكُمْ وَدَعْوَةَ الْوَالِدِ. Beware, beware. Don't ever mistreat your parents to the point that they become disgusted with you. They start praying against you. فَإِنَّهَا أَحَدٌ مِنَ السَّيْفِ. The prayer of a parent who is hurt against you is sharper than the sharpest sword. And therefore, a quick reminder. If you look at the riwayat of how to treat your parents with respect, we get etiquettes about how to walk with them, how to talk with them, how to touch them or to look at them. To walk, the riwayat says, it's better not to walk in front. If it's a sign of respect, you walk with or you walk behind. لَا تُقَدِّمْ قُدَّامَهُمَا. When you talk to them, be kind and gentle and courteous and polite. Even if they hurt you physically or verbally, غَفَرَ اللَّهُ لَكُمَا. May Allah forgive you, but you don't respond and abuse in return. لَا تَرْفَعَ صَوْتَكَ فَوْقَ صَوْتِهِمَا. Don't raise your voice as a sign of disrespect over their voices. وَلَا تَقُلْ لَهُمَا أُفٍّ. The Imam says, لَوْ عَلِمَ اللَّهُ شَيْئًا أَهْوَنَ مِنْهُ. If Allah knew of a word which is more derogatory than "uff," He would have mentioned it. لَنَهَا عَنْهُ. The least that you can show disrespect is "uff." Forget the bigger words, abusive. No, the least is prohibited. To look at them always, don't be contemptuous, don't be disrespectful even in your looks. And one of the psychologies that is being studied is what emotions are reflected on the face. You know, a person smiles at you, there's a true smile and a false smile, for example. Psychologists can study the face and can tell you what changes are there on the face that reflect a true from a false one. A false smile is just stretching off the lips. But a true smile has got one or two other signs on the forehead and in the eyes. When you look at them, your face reflects and expresses an emotion. Don't look at them with disrespect and contemptuously. And this final hadith, يُقَالُ لِلْعَاقَ. When a disrespectful child or son or daughter makes a dua, he will be told by God, اعمل ما شئت إني لا أغفر لك. You can do whatever you want. You will not be forgiven. One of the easiest ways to win displeasure of God, therefore, is disrespect to parents. تحبس الدعاء. Allah is not interested in listening. Next slide, please. I wanted to discuss this example a little in detail, but just very briefly. Notice how Allah shows us in the secret world, in the hidden world, how if somebody can hurt the parents, Allah already makes plans to punish that child. You notice in the story of Khidr and Musa, in the second incident, after leaving the boat, they come to a place and he kills a young boy. And Musa says, this is shay'an nukra. This is munkar. This is highly abominable what you have done. Khidr says, but didn't I tell you that you should not question me? You should just wait and observe patiently. Musa could not wait because in his sharia, man qatala nafsan bighayri nafsin aw fasadin fil ard fakannama qatala an-nas jami'a. In the sharia of Musa is, if you kill one soul innocently without that soul having killed somebody else, without that soul having made extreme wrongdoing and corruption on the earth, then it is as if you have killed the whole of mankind. The moment that self-inhibition, God-given inhibition, that stops you from hurting someone, from killing someone, when that isma is broken, the chances of this person now going and killing anyone else is much higher. So Musa had all the right to object. In his sharia, this was a serious sin. Later on, at the end of the journey, then in ayah number 80 and ayah number 81, Khidr alayhi salam explains the wisdom behind that act. And he says that we were afraid that when this boy grows up, this is a knowledge that they had beforehand, given the behavior of this child and given the potential circumstances that are going to influence him and therefore his decision making, this is the act that he would do in future. And that is, he would hurt his parents to the point of becoming rebellious and in fact of converting them to kufr also. Ayah number 80, Khidr alayhi salam says, وَأَمَّا الْغُلَامُ فَكَانَ أَبَوَاهُ مُؤْمِنَيْنِ. His two parents were believers. فَخَشِينَا أَن يُرْهِقَهُمَا طُغْيَانًا وَكُفْرًا. We were afraid that he will overwhelm them by his rebelliousness and by his denial and his kufr. فَأَرَدْنَا أَن يُبْدِلَهُمَا رَبُّهُمَا خَيْرًا مِنْهُ زَكَاةً وَأَقْرَبُ رُحْمًا. So Allah decided that we should replace him with somebody who is more gentle, more pure, more merciful towards his parents. Notice, Allah wills it. If Khidr had not come from the secret world to tell Musa, then it would have been decided, an angel would have been sent and this child would have died. Or an accident would have happened, this child would have died. Or something would have happened and this child would have died. The important thing is the will of God has been decided on this child. That secret decision has now been exposed to us through Khidr to Musa. And that's the point. Of all the examples mentioned, this is the most important one, in that disrespect to the parents immediately invites punishment. Next slide, please. And one of the sins that can block dua is when we ask for something which is against the wisdom of the Lord. Not everything that we ask for. Suppose we have asked for forgiveness from all our sins, and if we have disrespected parents, we have asked for forgiveness. Then our account is clean when we go to God. Lakini, that doesn't necessarily mean the dua will be answered. There could be a sin, a mistake, whereby you're asking for something which is against your interest or long-term interest. And that also will block the dua. Inshallah, we'll discuss this a little more in detail in the next session. Let's pray to Allah to give us the tawfiq to be able to train ourselves, our mind, our thinking, our feelings in such a way that we should be on high alert, not to be abusive, to be wrongdoing, to be hurtful to others. Qasababu, before you can hurt others, you're hurting yourself. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.